In her meditation, New Year's Day, which we heard is our opening words this morning, Kathleen McTeague writes, "So it is, everything is the same, bound into its history as we ourselves are bound, and yet also we stand on the threshold. The new year, something truly new, still unformed, leaving a stunning power in our hands. What shall we do with this great gift of time, this year?" So this is the essence of our reflection this morning, this dual reality, that we are continually bound into the conditions and momentum of history. And yet, simultaneously, at every moment, we stand on the threshold of another beginning, with the possibility of walking forward into a new way, into a fresh field of time that stretches out before us like a field of untrodden snow. The snow that we have admittedly not seen yet this winter. That we as a culture mark the beginning of the new year on a particular day, one which we designate January 1st, is a product of cultural history. For many ancient European cultures, the winter solstice was, very sensibly, the beginning of the new year. It was the actual astronomical moment that began that begins the new cycle of lengthening days. And during the European Middle Ages, there were various dates between March and December that each took their turn as New Year's Day. For centuries, the Western Christian world celebrated New Year's Day on March 25th. And due to the miscalculations of the calendar, that what actual day March 25th fell on migrated wildly from decade to decade and century to century. Today, neither the Chinese, nor Islamic, nor Jewish calendars consider January 1st New Year's Day, nor this to be the year 2012. A consent to the Gregorian calendar as the international civil calendar is only a practical concession that makes it easier for our countries to interact and do business in a world currently dominated by Western practices and power. And so the designation of January 1st as New Year is somewhat arbitrary, and it's helpful to take that to heart because it reminds us that any day, in fact, every day can be New Year's Day. If that's the day that we decide we are going to begin anew. So every morning we're given a gift. The expanding flush of orange-pink light set against the deep blue of the passing night, that pristine moment that we are given again each morning is a reminder that this too is New Year's Day. Stephen Barza has written a lovely poem called Just Up that speaks of that moment when the day and the self is still unformed. He says, "When we awaken, there is a moment before we remember. Before we remember the burdens we bear, that yesterday we lost or won a fortune or a battle or a love. Or that today we must go to work or to court or to hospital. Or that we have nowhere to go. Before we start piecing together who we have been or who we will be. And in that moment, we are simply consciousness, sensation, appetite, not yet linked to memory or will. I like the way we are in that naked moment before we are defined, in that briefest moment before we don ourselves." Our cultural tradition, not only of marking New Year's Day on January 1st, but also making resolutions and setting intentions at that time, this expresses the need and the hope that the moment of New Year's may be an opportunity to do something differently than we've done it up until now. The idea of the New Year's resolution has unfortunately become a kind of joke or cliche because the general failure of New Year's resolutions to have any effect whatsoever on our behavior is also famously common and cliche. In a cartoon, one guy says, "Did you decide on your New Year's resolutions?" And the other guy says, "Yeah, I've decided I'm going to be alone and miserable for the rest of my life." And the first guy says, "Finally, something realistic." As McTeague said, on New Year's Day, everything is the same, bound into its history as we ourselves are bound. We're conditioned from conception, some would say before. But we're conditioned from conception by what happens to us, and we begin shaping our lives from very early on. We're subject to the universal law of karma, which means simply the web of cause and effect, action and reaction. Our personal and collective karmic situation arises from the totality of our actions and their related reactions. The present is an echo of the past, and the future is a reflection of the present. But karma is not fate, nor is it some kind of cosmic system of reward and punishment. It's just the nest of conditions that we find ourselves in at any given moment, given all our preceding choices. Our history, our karmic situation, they give a probability and a momentum and parameters to our future. So they kind of set a momentum for the future, but they don't determine the future entirely. We always have a margin of choice, and every morning is New Year's Day. So what happens, what we do with the great gift of time, is a matter of how awake and how mindful we are able to be. Sometime in my mid-20s, I was probably around 25, I think, I took the 10-day silent meditation retreat offered at the Vipassana Meditation Center in Western Massachusetts. I know that others have undertaken that inner adventure as well. The particular meditation, Vipassana or insight meditation that's practiced at that center is based on the teaching method of the Burmese Buddhist teacher Satya Narayan Goenka, also known as Mr. S.N. Goenka, or Genkaji. Many of the meditation centers sessions during the retreat were pre-recorded sessions of Mr. Goenka, played through the sound system. So they were pre-recorded and used in many centers around the world. They're played through the sound system, and he, through these pre-recorded sessions, guided us in his extremely slow, hypnotic voice through the practice of mindfulness meditation. And one instruction that he repeated very, very often, many times per session, has stayed with me permanently and thankfully so. The sound of his sing-song voice intoning the words is embedded in my deep memory, and it comes to me periodically, helping me once again in those moments when I've become lost in some unhelpful, unhealthy state of mind or behavior. They help me to smile gently, to breathe, and to return to myself. And the instruction is this: start again. Start again. Start again. The effort to meditate can seem completely and utterly futile. The great silent room of the meditation hall is filled with all of these bodies sitting in meditative posture with eyes closed and lips sealed and seeming to be in this transcendent state. But we know that within each person's inner world, the mind is skittering and leaping about like a little monkey in the treetops, grabbing onto one thing, squawking and chattering, then suddenly swinging away to something else in an endless free range of free association. On and on, it scampers about making mischief. Denise Levertov aptly describes this state, this aversion to mindful presence, in her poem, Flickering Mind, with this line, "Not for 1 second will myself hold still, but wanders anywhere, everywhere it can." And so while one has the intention to meditate and one has 10 days of enforced structure and silence in which to do it, it can seem, at least for the beginner, that never for one moment will oneself hold still and settle into silence. So if you had difficulty with the silence that we were trying to practice earlier, you are a human being. So Mr. Goenka's interventions are very wise and necessary, and they remain so. Start again. Never become dejected, disappointed, or depressed. Simply start again. If the mind wanders, start again. I hear something similar now in my Bikram yoga classes, which can be sometimes agonizingly difficult. And the teacher says, every single day is different. Every day is new. Some days we have a harder time. We're struggling. But don't attach to what happened. Do the best you can at each moment and then let it go. Don't get demoralized if you have a bad day or a difficult practice. Just come back tomorrow. Just keep practicing. And so in order to change something that we wish to change, in order to live a resolution or an intention, we need a continuous, generous flow of New Year's days, a never-ending flow of New Year's days. And we need help and support in being able to grasp and use that moment of beginning to create new momentum. And we need to understand the process of change. And we need a continuous supply of compassion, patience, perseverance, courage, respect for ourselves, and confidence. We need those things within ourselves, and when we falter, which we will falter, we need those things from others. Did I say we need support? It bears repeating many times. I so often hear people ashamed and disappointed and frustrated with themselves because they've not been able to change something in themselves that they feel they should change, that they want to change. And God knows I struggle with this all the time myself. We live in a culture that's convinced of the myth and the fiction of the self-made, self-created person, the belief that we should be able to be independent in all things. But change is incredibly challenging and very slow, and it calls for continuous support and structures and relationships that encourage us in what we wish to do and to be. And this community can be such a community of support. And we don't have an intentional way of doing that, but sharing with ourselves what we want to, what we're working on, what we want to become, and finding ways to support each other, and having endless patience with each other when we falter. This will allow us to create in our lives and in our community what we want to be. So all that said, we're going to take a few minutes now to continue with our meditation and of intention setting. And it's going to culminate with a little bit of magic. And magic is simply the projection of one's emotional and psychic energy through a symbol, through a symbolic act or a tool, and that piece of magic paper is going to be that. But we have to set the stage for that. And we also need to understand that this little bit of magic that we're going to do is just a little help. Change is not going to happen without the intention, but the intention alone, voiced once, will not be enough. What we're creating in this moment is a vital starting point for each of us to remember, an energized reference point that we can hearken back to in our mind and memory and emotion and body to connect us with our intention when we need to reset it. It's like remembering that is like remembering the voice, start again. So let's just quickly go through some of the stages we were in before, which is just to become present in our bodies. To become present to our breath and to attend to the interior space from which we create our actions. And we invoke again the power of love, the blessing of love, which is the root of everything that comes into existence. Sometimes that love is very confused. Sometimes that love is somehow has been twisted into a strange shape. But love is at the root of love and desire are at the root of action. So attuning consciously to the power of love. Remembering the fecund silence. The creative silence. Looking with soft eyes upon our life. And now there's another stage, which is feeling ourselves connected in this extremely complex and fine gossamer web of connection. You could call this the field of miracles, although it's not supernatural. It's simply the matrix of connection that gives rise to synchronicity, fortuitous chance, the conversation that is strikingly helpful when you didn't expect it, your eyes falling on a certain page in a book, turning the corner and seeing a friend you've been thinking of. This is the web of miraculous connection that we are embedded in. And it's going to help us to create what we want to create. And so feeling all of these fields, the field of creative love, the field of silence, the field of connections, and the field that is our life, our current reality, and you're going to watch those intertwining fields as they start to boil. They're going to shimmer and boil like water in a pot. This is the boiling in which new things become possible. Imagine it like the primordial soup from which life sprang. And into that boiling field of potential, we drop the seed of our intention like a little pearl, like a seed. and we let it dissolve into that boiling reality and connect with it. And then out of that field of possibility, I want you to crystallize one image. And it's the image of yourself doing what it is that you intend to do. Expressing that intention in a real way in your life with joy as a blessing for your life and for others. And so holding that image in your mind, yourself living that intention that you've created for yourself, living that intention in a real way, in a concrete way, expressing it and doing so with joy and as a gesture of blessing. So with that in your heart and in your mind, you're going to take your piece of paper and come up through the center aisle. Oop, we need to... we just need a moment to set this up. But when the music begins playing, you'll come up through the center aisle. We'll have two bowls with some candles, and you just hold your little piece of paper over one of those bowls with the flames, and it will go poof. And that will be your seed of intention dissolving into the boiling reality that is all possibility.